I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Voters in Vancouver go to the polls Saturday, the 19th of November, 2011. There are advanced voting opportunities beginning Wednesday, the 9th, daily until the 16th. In Vancouver, there will be elections for the mayor, city council, for park commissioners, and school trustees. Vancouver.ca has all of the candidates running, as well as biographical sketches of the candidates and the issues that they're running on. Here on this program, as I did in the recent federal election and in previous provincial election campaigns, I'm welcoming all the candidates running to appear. Candidates who are on the ballot are invited to contact me to arrange a time to tape an interview for the program. Joining me now is Sandy Garasino. She's an independent candidate for city council. She's a business owner, a former Crown prosecutor, and cultural and charities advocate in the city. She was a prominent voice in the Vancouver Not Vegas organization that successfully opposed the expansion of the Edgewater Casino near BC Place Stadium. Her website is at votesandy.ca. On Twitter, you can follow at Garasino for her tweets. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Sandy Garasino. Good morning, Ms. Garasino.
Hi, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us. So how has this campaign gone so far? Is it all that you've expected it to be?
That and more. You know, of course, it's been just run and gun, and right now we're just totally flat out sprinting all the way. It's been exciting, I'll say that. Yeah.
And I mean, you're well known in certain circles, and certainly in the literary community here, and in the larger context because of your work for the Vancouver Not Vegas organization. Are you finding that you're getting beyond those circles, say, and getting to the voter? I mean, it must be a challenge running as an independent.
It's been a real uphill battle at the beginning. This campaign has actually started to unfold remarkably like the casino campaign, in the sense that it took a huge amount of time, an enormous effort at the very beginning to start to get, you know, sort of get into public imagination and get public notice, and now it just seems to really be taking off.
And if people know you, as I said, it'll be from that Vancouver Not Vegas campaign. But you're running not just on that issue alone. You're running. You have other issues that you're talking about in this campaign, right?
Yes, very much. I think that people are looking for an alternative or an independent, shall we say, even if it's just one or two independents to have on city council. Another issue that really concerns me is, of course, the public consultation model that was used during the casino fight and for general development, and affordability is my number one issue. I'm really, really concerned with how we are dealing with this issue.
On the issue of affordability, I've read your platform, and one of the things you say is that you want to make Vancouver affordable again. If elected, how does one councillor at Cambie and 12th, an independent one at that, go about doing that?
Well, one of the things that a single person can do is change the conversation, and as we saw with the casino issue. A lot of this is really about pivoting the conversation and changing it. The dominant tone right now is about just build more condos and increase the supply, and we'll solve this problem. And I consider that to be an almost pointless exercise, because we are not focusing on the root of the problem. So a single voice saying, let's be looking at this issue more closely, let's find the cause, especially when, as what I'm finding is, there's a huge public hunger to talk about what is widely perceived to be the real cause.
And you also write that the co-op model, have we gotten away from that?
I don't think that the co-op model has been properly explored in the city. I look to Granville Island and the Falls Creek development, the South Falls Creek development, as just an outstanding model of its time. We would possibly do something different today, but I think we should be exploring the co-op model. I'd like to learn a lot more about that. I'd like to learn about ways that we can maybe channel some of the investment, the global capital that is flowing into the economy here and pooling in residential real estate. I'd like to see, are there ways that we can incentivize that to get into rental accommodation? I think there are many mechanisms that we can look to.
There are a lot of speculators, though, who invest in real estate as a means to make money. How do you get away from that?
Well, one of the things that we're really seeing, and to me it's inexcusable that in this city where we have such a housing crisis and so many people struggling so much, that we've got houses sitting empty, and that's just indicative of a grossly distorted marketplace. We can't have houses sitting empty or condos sitting empty. Those should be being rented out. They should be accommodating people. So I would like to see us explore tax options so that unoccupied properties are taxed at a business rate. I don't see why our local small businesses should be subsidizing residential tax rates for speculative investors. That's completely wrong. So we have to look at some of these other mechanisms.
This program isn't necessarily a political show. We do a lot of authors, but the host happens to be very interested in politics. So I'd like to talk about why you decided to run as an independent. What was happening in the city and in our politics that I guess dissuaded you from running with the mainstream or the established parties in this town?
I think that we really need to have an independent voice. It's really nice to have the freedom to speak openly about issues that parties might not feel comfortable raising. It's on everybody's tongue about this real estate. Everybody understands it at a grassroots level, but the parties are very, very reluctant to address it. I'm only interested in getting into government or getting into politics if I can achieve something worthwhile. Simply running for a party because it might be more successful, if that muzzled me in some way, that's not an interesting option for me. Another thing that is really concerning is the amount of money that's going into the political campaigns. When it's very clear that when the two parties are throwing about $5 million at each other, that an enormous amount of that money is coming from corporations that have vested interest in the outcomes of the council decisions. I think that's wrong. I think we've got to look for some reforms there. I just don't see that there's any way that a councillor can be impartial or disinterested, or certainly can appear to be impartial and disinterested, if they've accepted significant political donations from a corporation that's got a matter before them for decisions.
Are there candidates or are there parties that perhaps reflect some of your views? I'm wondering, are there candidates that you would want to see elected on the 19th that, if you were elected yourself, you'd like to work with and that would be conducive, say, to your agenda?
Well, I think that one of the things that's been striking to me in going to the All Candidates meetings is how strong some of the less well-funded candidates are. And I look at the Neighborhoods for a Sustainable Vancouver, and I also look at Adrian Carr, who is turning into a really interesting candidate. This is somebody who's got deep knowledge of municipal issues. So I look to people like Betty Murphy. Randy Helton is very interesting. Terry Martin. These are candidates who are have deep knowledge about planning and development. At the same time, at the party level, I'm really agnostic, and I get along with all the party members. I think Ellen Woodsworth has been a terrific candidate, and I've enjoyed a great deal a number of the candidates for the other parties. Sean Bickerton is a strong candidate, and I think Bill McCreary has been very interesting, and he's got, again, a lot of knowledge. He's with the NPA, and at the Vision side, I'm a fan of Jeff Meigs. I'm a fan of Andrea Reimer and Heather Deal, and I don't mean by excluding anybody to be critical. I think there are a lot of good candidates.
What about for mayor? I mean, is there a mayor that you would rather work with?
I prefer not to talk about that one because there are only two choices. I know both of them well. I've used to work with Suzanne at the Crown. We actually job shared together many years ago when our kids were little. She's got a lot of strengths. I think in many ways she's underestimated as far as what her strengths are. And Gregor Robertson, I think, has led in difficult circumstances very well, and I prefer not to express a preference.
When you're out on the campaign trail talking to voters, what are some of the issues that they're talking about? Because I talk to a number of people and different kinds of people, I guess. My sports talk friends, so I'll talk about bike lanes and chickens and backyards and the sort, and some of my right-wing friends talk about what's happening at the art gallery and the riot. And what are people telling you are their concerns?
Well, Occupy Vancouver is really on the top of everybody's list right now. Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest concerns that I'm hearing about, I mean, let's face it, this has been a vision council for the last 3 years, and over and over again, and I see the bike lanes as indicative of this, there is a feeling that the people aren't really genuinely being heard, and we certainly experienced this with the casino campaign, that to a great extent, there's a feeling that the popular feeling that the public's views are not being fully listened to. And I think that to a certain extent, some people feel that the Vision Council has been more ideological than they're comfortable with. On the other hand, I think the Vision, you know, was pretty clear about what their priorities were when they were elected, and they were elected. So, I mean, there's that balance. But Occupy Vancouver, I think, is really front and center in people's minds.
And as a former Crown Prosecutor, I mean, where are we on this issue of whether it's legal? I mean, do we throw them off the property, or can we not do that?
Well, I'd really like to calm the rhetoric down on Occupy to a certain extent. I look at the practicalities of the situation, quite apart from the Charter of Rights issues, which to me are very real and live, and we don't know what a court would do. Regardless, this would go to the Supreme Court of Canada. To me, there's no doubt about it, that it would end up in the Supreme Court of Canada. So between now and this final decision in Supreme Court of Canada is a whole lot of money, and we've already gone through... I look at the practicalities. There are at least 1,000 cities in North America and worldwide that are experiencing an Occupy movement right now. Not one of them has managed to forcibly or even cooperatively remove an Occupy movement without violence. And I just don't see that it's realistic that Vancouver is going to be the first. We are still dealing with the Vancouver riots. My own experience and knowledge of the police investigation that went into that, this was astonishingly expensive and time-intensive, and it will continue to be so. We're only just starting on the trial at the trial level. So just as a practical matter, leaving aside every other aspect to this, I just see that we would be buying ourselves a world of pain in trying to do anything forcibly. My sense is to be calm and measured in our response, to keep the lines of communication open, to be respectful at all times, and build relationships, and look for opportunities to resolve this in some other way.
Two of the issues on your website that you're running on have to do with an arts strategy and a city free of gangs and organized crime. How do we afford those two initiatives, say, if we have to pay for the riots, if we have to pay for the ongoing costs, the expensive costs of this Occupy Vancouver protest?
Well, for me, and I think that an awful lot of people in the arts community would agree with this, that an awful lot about a really focused and powerful and robust arts strategy, a lot of that isn't actually even about money. It's about being strategic, and it's about respecting and honoring the role of arts in our culture, in our community. If we want to just go straight to the nuts and bolts, the dollars and cents perspective, we know that we've been draining and draining our tourism out of Vancouver, with the exception of the Olympic experience. I look to what are the causes of this? And probably the primary cause is that our biggest tourism market, international tourism market, is the United States, and the profile of that traveler has changed dramatically because of the passport requirement. So now the only tourism market we possibly can have from the United States is the passport holder. This is a sophisticated and cosmopolitan traveler. They can go anywhere, and they do travel for culture, and yet we have continuously, and I'm talking here at the provincial level, eroded our arts and culture. So my number one issue is get that gaming money back to our arts and culture organizations. You know, when we allowed casinos and slot machines into the city, it was on the basis of a social pact that that money would go into arts and culture and a range of other nonprofit organizations. Millions and millions have been sucked out of the arts community because of this. We've lost hundreds of jobs, and I think that the city should be taking an incredibly vigorous stance, standing up for these organizations, getting that money back from the provincial government. This is an absolute entitlement, and the arts organizations should have it, and we should have a strategy around arts and culture that is built around creating a dynamic and exciting scene that is going to attract tourism, attract talent, and just create a sense of liveliness and excitement here in Vancouver.
But on the issue of costs, and you know, to go back to the revenue that's being expended over the policing costs, essentially, if you're on council, would you vote for an increase in taxes, say?
I'm looking strategic points, and I look at the casino case as an example. You know, we ran that casino fight for like $8,500 or $9,000. You can be really strategic with a small amount of money. So I am the kind of person that looks for opportunities, looks for those small openings that open up big avenues of possibility. On things like policing, I'm very interested in the opportunities that technology may present. And I'm also very concerned that we be looking at policing at the technology side and really understand the civil rights and privacy aspects surrounding that. But having said that, technology may offer some real savings, not only at the policing end, but throughout the civil service. There are some good opportunities to increase our productivity and deliver better service at the same, deliver better value to the taxpayer.
Go ahead.
So I'm not convinced that increasing taxes is the way to go. I think that in today's world, you have to be looking at finding savings.
Now, the history tells us that an independent hasn't won election to city council since 1986. Do you think it can happen again in 2011, and do you think you're the candidate who will make that happen?
Well, I hope that it's the voters that will make that happen, and I hope that the voters will really take this opportunity to make a strong statement that they really want this to happen. We're right at that point where we're just sort of, the campaign is just really taking off, and, you know, I'm starting to feel like this could happen. You know, we entered this knowing that it was an uphill battle, but it's the same as the casino fight, you know. If we had taken all the advice that we were given at the very beginning, which is that you'll never stop it, this will never, you don't have any chance at all, they'd be digging the foundations for that casino today at BC Place. So I'm not one for being told you can't do something.
Sandy, it's been good to talk today. Our mutual friend Sean Cranberry has been a big booster of you back to the casino deal and suggested you to be a guest on here today. Appreciate your time and good luck.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. The website for more, votesandy.ca. Sandy Garasino, an independent candidate for council here in Vancouver, on the line. I'm Joseph Plato.